Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space.
This is episode 225, recorded on May 17th, 2022, where John and Jason go over the May 2022 Power BI updates, which include field parameters, improvements to Power BI subscription management, Canvas Zoom, and more. Good, very early morning, Jace. How are you now?
Oh, John, I'm doing all right, man. It's a little early here.
I'm not going to feel too sorry for you because you're having some fun. You're entering week three of your Microsoft adventure.
This is week five, man.
Week five? Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm miscounting right off the bat. So that shows you something.
It's been awesome. I'm actually here on campus this week.
Yeah.
We have our customer advisory board going on and getting to hear from our leaders talking directly to our customers about what we're doing and then having our customers give direct feedback on that vision is really, really cool.
You've already got that patented Microsoft phrase down then that's good feedback.
Oh, no, I don't speak in any of this. I just sit there and listen.
You're just listening. Oh, wow.
I just get to listen.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Wow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's drinking from the fire hose at a different level at this point right now. And it's been awesome. Yeah, I've been sitting in a conference room with Adam Saxon, Patrick LeBlanc, and Mark Rivera, and hearing the feedback and talking about everything as it's coming in back in and just getting to hear a level deeper about where things are going, because some of this stuff engineering has shown us, but again we're seeing at a different level.
Yeah.
Because they've been polishing the story. And it's just so exciting. It really is.
That's excellent, man. I'm so happy for you. Even if I do now have to get you out of bed at like 6 a.m.
It's a joy to get to do because we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
We do. We got, it's odd. We talked about a service update last week and we're talking about a service update this week.
I know. It's kind of crazy. It's almost like we didn't do a show for a month.
It's almost like that. Oh, wait. I think that's it. Yeah, we got some catching up to do. We do have a May update to go through, so we should probably jump into it.
Definitely. Let's dive right in because there's a lot of stuff to dissect here.
There's a couple of big ones, if you ask me, too.
So first one up here is the new formatting pane updates. And, general availability for this is being pushed back to June.
Yep.
So it was supposed to drop this month, but it got pushed back. They're trying to address some of the feedback that was given. And so they decide, we're going to take an extra month and we're going to get the feedback, into the product that was being asked for before we hit GA.
Yeah. I think the big one is that they've changed a little a bit of essentially it's just the default behaviors, right? So first off, it is still a preview feature that has to be turned on, that is turned on by default, that can be turned off. But it's that auto expand capability. So when you first go into the formatting pane, all of the categories now will be expanded by default instead of you'd have to set that setting. So it's another setting that you can either turn on or turn off, but now it's turned on by default.
Yeah. This is something that's definitely for the newbie that makes it a lot easier for, when you go somewhere and you see a fully collapsed menu, that's daunting because you don't know what all is under there. It's a lot easier just to know and stuff. Yeah. And just be able to scroll through a completely exploded menu. Personally, I like collapsed menus because I know where I'm going already. And it makes it a little bit easier to just jump where I want to get to. So the nice thing about this is I can turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to ask how you're going to handle it. You have the same take I am. I like it's a few more clicks to get to some things, but I don't have to scroll through as much stuff to, and I know it's there. So I know it's there now. I've gotten used to the new formatting pane, but from a discovery standpoint, I think this is the right decision.
Oh, completely agree. There's no argument. This is the right way to go. It's just, I am a fan of the ability to go in and just say, let's give me the ability to do it the way I want to do it, but let's set it the right way for the majority.
Yep. And they've also got a few changes to the formatting pane this month, including the analytics pane supporting custom visuals. Now there's some finished stuff around the background and color, the ability to set no fill for a number of things like the title background, the tooltips background, etc. Finding a setting gets a little bit easier, because in all the color swatches, the word color was never there. So if you search the properties pane for the word color, you're not going to get the color swatches. pretty confusing. So they literally add the word color there. They spelled it wrong. It needs a U.
They spelled it right for me.
Yeah, they spelled it right for you, of course. Yeah. And they've got conditional formatting re-added into the decomp tree visual. And that's all, you know, kind of completeness. I love the decomp tree visual in a couple of cases.
As well, yes.
Yeah. And matrix and table now match on conditional formatting, if you use that as a search term as well for all the cell elements. So again, it's stuff that you would expect to see. You didn't see, you didn't think it was there. It's confusing. So they're fixing all of that stuff.
Yeah. So the next one that's up here is Canvas Zoom is now generally available. This makes it easier to read.
Yeah.
This is so much nicer.
Yeah. It's not just generally available. It's the first time we've seen it. I don't think it was in a preview. Am I wrong? I never noticed it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was there.
I think it may have just gone straight to GA.
That's what I think.
Since you're saying that.
Well, it's a big deal. I think we would have noticed it because, it lets you basically like a browser. You can just scroll in and scroll for the Zoom. Yeah, now you can do that across the service. So it's in desktop. It's in service when you're in the edit mode, and it's in the service when you're in view mode. And for readers, it's a good thing because you get that little data point, and there's so much stuff I want to zoom in and see what's happening. It's a lot easier to do that. And from a designer, it's a whole lot easier to get things all pixel perfect. We've had the alignment lines for some time, but you know, if you want to go in and make some fine changes, this is really nice. Not really a whole lot to add about. Oh, and that's the one thing to note about the Canvas Zoom is it's kind of a user setting, and it's as you use it. So when you save off the report, it's not set for anyone else. So if you publish that report with a, 800% zoom factor, the users who are going to consume the report are not going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Are you drowning in spreadsheets? Are you gasping for a better reporting solution? Let Marquee Insights throw you a lifeline. They can help you chart a course to success with Power BI, then get underway quickly with one of their quick start solutions while learning the ropes from their experienced staff. If you're ready for reporting bliss, go to marqueeinsights.com and click the Get Started button and learn how they can help you make better, faster decisions with smarter data.
The next thing up here is field parameters. And there,
yep. To my mind, the biggest feature this month, frankly.
Yeah, go for it, John.
It's a big deal. It's kind of funny. We're having an offsite or offsite onsite, whatever meeting with our entire team this week. And some of the folks are here early. And I was explaining to Maya this morning what this was all about in the context of it's something that the team has built here. We called it something else. We called it dynamic measures. So this is a little more than that, but it's for a while. So the need has been there for quite some time. If you want to have different visualizations for the same dimensions or measures, you're going to put different visuals on your report page, right? That solves it. But what if you want to use the same visual for different measures and you want to optimize your screen real estate? This is a really neat case for that. So I could have, say, a stack column chart for something. Mm-hmm. And I want to look at it. I want to have it sliced on this dimension. And then I want to have it sliced on a different dimension. In the past, I would have to have multiple visuals to do that. Now I can create a parameter, and in this new parameter, it's a parameter on the DAX side. So it's in the reporting canvas. Yeah, you add it to the model, and that parameter will include a list of your dimensions or measures, depending on what you want to do. And then you would take that parameter and add it to the axis of your visual or the elements in your visual. And then you can choose using a slicer which one of those dimensions are going to be used on that axis. So it lets you use the same visual and just say, I want to see it by year. I want to see it by color. I want to see it by whatever the case may be.
That is very, very cool. This is a preview feature, right?
It is a preview feature. You have to turn it on. And it's basically giving you some dynamic capability to an existing visual. So, and it can be used for both dimensions and for measures. I haven't played around. I don't imagine you can mix them. It doesn't make sense that you can mix them, but
no.
It might be possible depending on the nature of your measure. I have to test that out. But I would imagine you're going to predominantly, in the case I just outlined, use a dimension parameter for an x-axis and a measure parameter might be your y-axis. That's sort of a scenario I can see. But I haven't played with it myself, but I think it's going to be an important feature moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. So again, to turn this on, you get a file, you get options and settings,
yeah.
Options, third one from the bottom, It's going to be preview features under the global heading. And then in order to do this, you're going to go into the modeling tab and go to new parameter, and then click on the down caret there and pick fields or, yep. you know, and start to build.
Yep. Couple of funky things about it. Once you create one, editing is not such a simple task. There's no UI for editing, basically. So you're going to create this new field parameter. It's going to be a part of your model. So it'll show up on the right-hand side. But if you want to edit it, you're going to have, it's what it's doing is it's building DAX for you. Yes. And so you're going to go into that DAX and you're going to have to modify it. So you're going to have a nice example to work from, but you do have to do that to change. The creating is in, it's in the modeling tab. If you want to create a new one, and it just shows as new parameter. I want to caution people if you're not clear about, you know, which UI you're in, whether you're in the DAX pane or in Power Query, it's exactly the same button, but it's going to have a completely different behavior. So that might be a little bit confusing for some. So there's a little bit of a warning there. But of course, it's in preview. I expect some of these things, certainly the editing thing, to be sorted out over time. As well, it has a few limitations with it. Q&A doesn't work with it. The AI visuals are not working yet with field parameters, so there's no way to do that. You can't say none. Oh, there's something else I want to add in here as well. You can't say none for the selected dimension because the behavior in the back end is to select all of them, and that doesn't make any sense in this context.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to add is that you can have the behavior of this parameter work one of two ways. You can either have it use the values of the parameter or the names of all the parameter elements as well. And finally, if you want to use measures with it, you're going to have to use explicit measures. And it's kind of funny. In our talk last week, we got a question and we actually had to describe the difference between an explicit and implicit measure. So yes. I'll go ahead and do it now for those who don't already know. When you're using Power BI, if you've got a numeric field, Power BI allows you to use implicit measures, which means it's numeric. It knows that mathematical aggregation operations can be performed on that field. If you drag that to a chart, it's going to know what to do with it. Versus an explicit measure where you declare in DAX, here's this measure name, here's the calculation you're going to do, like sum, whatever that may be. It has to be an explicit measure. Implicit ones aren't going to show. It's sort of like the way Excel behaves in a pivot table when you connect to a Power BI data set.
Correct. Yes, that is that's all true, John. I don't have anything else to add to that, my friend.
I was just trying to save your voice this early in the morning.
No, I sincerely appreciate it. The allergens have been kicking my butt up here in the Pacific Northwest. So if you're hearing me Barry White style, that's the reason. I'm doing a decent mute job here along the way, I think. But
I anyway. Think you're doing okay. I tried to do it there earlier, but I couldn't find my mute button, so I just carried on.
So the next one up, John, you've been excited about since we started talking about this drop.
Well, the feature itself, which is, I think we mentioned this last week, but is the name of the feature changing? Is it getting even longer? But we're referring to these things as composite models. So this is the direct sets and Azure Analysis Services. See how I could just rattle that off now? We're now basically allowing some admin control so that you can disable that feature as an admin. And you can disable it across your entire organization or to a specific security group of people, which is, of course, you know, if you're gonna implement this, you want to have both of those options.
Yeah.
So the feature itself, just to quickly summarize, it allows you to create a direct query connection, essentially create a direct query connection in your local model to a remote, call it analysis services, but essentially a Power BI data set, which is the same thing. So in those cases, you've still got this local model in your PBIX file, and you've got that remote connection. Well, you can turn that ability off now.
Yeah.
It won't affect any reports that have already established this, but it will disallow the creation of new ones. I want to be clear, though, what it won't do is disable direct connected reports, which is different. A direct connect report is a PBIX that is connected directly to a model in the service and doesn't have that local model. So when you're just building a report off of a data set that's published into the service, that's a direct connected data set. When you're adding a couple of data sets together from the service, it's going to create a local model for you to allow you to be able to do that. It's a different thing. You're always working with a local model in that case, and it's just reaching out to these other Power BI data sets as a data source. So we've got much better control over who gets to do that now.
Alrighty then.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by Tigraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using Tigraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try Tigraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tigraph.com.
So, John, the next one up here is Data Point Rectangle Select is now generally available. This is when you're taking a look at a visual and you do a, you know, sort of do a, hold down your mouse, drag it, you know, do a control and drag a shape of data and do a selection that way.
Yep.
Is it control or is it shift? I always mess this up.
I would always mess that up as well. I think it's shift, but I could be dead wrong.
Yeah, I think control was for picking individual data points, but yeah, shift is like able to drag the whole thing. So
yeah, it's one or the other anyway. I think we can go with the 50-50.
So this month they've introduced keyboard controls that help you keep your data point rectangle selected without using a mouse. By pressing the S key and focusing on a plot area, you can, you know, enter a rectangle select mode displaying crosshairs on the visual. So this is adding accessibility to it as well.
It's the control key. It's right there. Yeah. On the dock. But yeah, and this is a feature we've had for a little while, and now it's generally available. So you know, we get a couple of new elements as that happens, but it's a good feature. It's a good feature.
It's the accessibility piece here that's being added that makes it so that it can go get through that GA.
That's probably why it's GA. Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly. And error bars seem to be the thing these days.
Yes, they do. You know, again, we get two more chart types that are getting error bars added to them this month. We get column and line combination charts this month.
Yep. Not much to add to that apart from it's there. Also, if you use it, the ArcGIS visual has gotten a few updates. It's not something I use a lot of. It's the please insert license here if you want to use any of the serious features. But if you're using it, there is a 2022.2 update, which is a quality release, which means that basically they're fixing bugs.
Yeah, I think it's some additional features here, but a lot of bug fixes, performance improvements type of stuff.
Yep. In the connector section, just to rhyme them off without getting into any detail, a couple of new connectors. None of them I've heard of the service before. FactSet RMS. There's also Funnel, a product called Funnel that we have a connector for.
All right then.
And there's a bunch of updates as well. So Databricks has a minor update. I shouldn't call it minor, but it's not a huge one. There's some good stuff. Denodo has some updates. Google Sheets has an update. And the thing to note there is it's generally available as opposed to being in beta.
Yes. So
you can
count on. That's a big deal for a lot of customers as well.
The
fact that something is listed as beta, even though it's been out for a year and stable, they won't use it until it's no longer listed as beta. So there you go.
And finally, Autodesk Construction Cloud has an update to its connector. So that's that rounds out the connector section.
Yes, sir.
Which takes us to the service. And this is a really big feature, I think. This is the second largest thing in this month. Would you agree? I don't know. Well, I know how much you love the subscriptions feature.
Yeah.
The alerting.
you're
Microsoft now.
I can still be honest and say this is not my favorite feature. You know, the nice thing about this is that we're, you know, admins get the capability.
It's gotten better
having some oversight into subscriptions, and it's gotten easier. You have the ability to edit some takeovers as a workspace admin, which you didn't have before. So, you know, definitely has gotten better. It's definitely easier to manage this now. Still not where I want it to be, but you know, it's definitely getting better.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing here is we've got that single pane of glass now for the administrator.
You were in the garden way too long this weekend, weren't you?
Haven't got all the grass cut yet, man. It's been a little hectic this weekend. And trying to do a whole month's worth of summer preparation in a weekend is a little bit daunting.
Yeah, I can believe that.
So the next one is also pretty big. Another improvement to the data set hub, you know, described, it makes it easier to gain insights on top of your data. And it may not be immediately obvious or discoverable, but it's interesting. So what we're seeing is this. We first saw this capability. Oh, I better back off. So remember, you know how we've been able to for about a year now, a little over a year, go and create some reports based on a SharePoint list, right? You can just basically, yes. So from SharePoint, go and create that's that local thing, all kinds of comments about it. But that's what it does is it analyzes the data, the table, essentially, and say, oh, you might want this type of visual, this type of visual, this type of detail, et cetera, and just lays out a report for you. And it creates some, it does a little bit of DAX work. If it sees a date field, it'll create a date hierarchy for you, all of that sort of thing. And then we've seen that as well subsequently when we paste in data from Excel or we connect to Excel, it will do that as well. And now what they're letting you do is create new reports on top of existing data sets, and it essentially is doing the same thing. So if you've got a published data set, you can now go create new report. And instead of having to go from scratch, which is you get a blank canvas and all of the elements that have been created from the data set, it's going to try to be intelligent about creating a report for you. It's obviously not going to do the DAX for you at this stage because presumably you've built that DAX already in the data set well, but it's going to create that report for you, give you a launching point or a starting point. So I think that's interesting seeing it come here.
Yeah, I like this.
The one caveat about it, though, right now is your data set can only have one table in it. So it's like, yeah, okay.
It's a nice beginner feature.
It really is. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So there's a deprecation, John. I haven't seen a deprecation service in a very, very long time.
There's a couple of them. One of them is you can no longer use a featured dashboard as a landing or as your default landing page. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can't have this dashboard show up. As well, the dashboard performance inspector has been deprecated. I find this interesting.
Yeah.
I see a word in common there in those two deprecations.
Dashboard or deprecated or both?
Well, okay, we'll go hit fair. But it would be the dashboard part of that. And that makes me wonder. And I'm not going to make you speculate openly on anything. I know you haven't told me anything, but wow. Okay. Now, I haven't seen any love go into dashboards for a little while. Like,
and we've never had love for dashboards.
No, that's true. There's one thing it does that I think interesting is that we're using those push data sets.
Yes.
Let you do the kiosk style updating. The ability that's been, the importance of that has been somewhat reduced with the auto refresh feature in reports.
Yes.
But without seeing any real improvements to the dashboard part of the service and starting to see these deprecations, it really makes me wonder how long they are for this world.
Yeah, I don't have any answers on that there, John.
I know it's just fine. And again, you haven't shared anything with me, but I just wonder about that because we take pains during our seminars to talk about, I know this is a dashboard in Power BI and it's different than a report, but really they're the same thing in most users' eyes. And without getting into it, I mean, it's a bit of a confusing element. And I don't know if dashboards have ever taken off the way they were intended to. So, yeah.
No, when everything's a dashboard, nothing is, right?
Yeah.
Nothing's a dashboard, everything is. I don't know the right way to say it, but
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's, everybody is looking for the dashboard, and we've never been a big fan of the how the terminology dashboard is in Power BI.
Yeah, well, especially I mean, if you think about now in the world of if you look at the way data sets work, and you can create a report that's connecting data from data sets in different workspaces, a dashboard is bound to the workspaces that contains it. So right. You can't have it reach out. So the idea there was to have a single pane of glass for a user to have visibility into multiple reports all at once. That was the point of it. And that makes sense in the context of the free Power BI license, and you've just got my workspace. Okay. But I don't think it makes sense in the context of multiple, hundreds of workspaces in the organization. You no longer have a single pane. You got 100 you have to go to, and why don't you just go to the reports? So, yeah. Well, that's how I see the world. Yeah. If anybody
cares. Moving on to the mobile section. Goals and update is now available in the activity
feed. Yep. So the mobile app has an activity feed and goal updates. When there's a change to the goal, it's going to now be added to it. There's not really that much to add about that.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Windows app has new minimum OS requirements. And, it's using WebView 2 coming up here shortly.
Yep.
So you have to be on Windows 10 version 16.2.99.
Yep. A couple of things for developers, just to cover them off. There's an API for file downloads, so you're going to be able to have your custom visuals export data specifically into files. There's some admin around that; it has to be allowed, but it's available. And the ability to collapse new attributes for the matrix data view is part of the developer update for this month. I don't have anything to add about that. I don't don't know the details on that, but it's worth, if you're a developer, you're using the matrix view, you should probably be aware of it. That takes us into the visualization section. We've got a bunch of new visuals that are available in AppSource: Razor, Mass Filter, Pre-Selected Slicer, which could be useful. Well, they could all be useful. Data Refresher and T-Map. And as usual, we don't dive into these things in detail. So encourage you to go off.
There's just way too many of them to do that. Yeah, exactly. Go look at it. Go look at the blog if you're interested. I will say Articulator, which is a first-party visual.
Yes.
Not generally available. And there's a bunch of updates that go along with it. Go do some reading on that if you're interested. And then lastly, we get to the other section, and Power BI Desktop Infrastructure Update for WebView 2 is here.
Yep. Basically, they've added a way that will more easily allow users to submit bug reports is really what it boils down to. They've nailed a lot of it. I had problems with WebView 2 at the beginning, particularly in virtual machines. And those problems seem to have gone away. I haven't seen an issue with it for a little while, but they're ironing out all the rest of the bugs. And it's an interesting appeal. It's basically, if you get a problem, please don't keep it to yourself. Let us know. We really want to fix these things, which is awesome. I think that's great. And they make it very easy. There's a button there that will just help submit that bug report very, very easily and quickly. And when you make things easy for users to do, they're more likely to do them.
Yeah, and this is specific to WebView 2, where if there's an issue with WebView 2, it's detected.
Yeah,
and it tells you you have a problem, and here's how you can get in touch to help fix it. So that's unique. I haven't seen that happen with anything else. So.
Exactly. Cool. Well, that takes us to the end of the service update there, the Power BI update for the month. So we're good to go until June now.
I'm telling you. And, you know, I'm looking forward to coming back to a regular cadence. We've got a bunch of news we have not covered off, John.
Yes,
once I'm back home and in saddle next week, we'll have to get back to our regular cadence. And didn't talk about all of the things that have happened over the past 2 months, because there are some things. And then... Yes. If you have not gone out and registered for Build yet,
mybuild.microsoft.com,
middle of next week, I believe it is.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wednesday is when we'll start to see the Power BI announcements. Definitely be worth taking a look at.
There's a lot of
report some stuff about that.
Yeah, a lot of Power BI content at Build this time around. So whether or not you'd typically be a Build customer, attendee,
it's a free conference to attend online.
Yeah, you should probably go and do that. I mean, in the context of normally we'd have an MBAS in May, this time frame typically. Haven't had one. They probably have some news to release, I'm thinking. So that would explain the amount of content at Build from the Power BI team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. I'm actually hoping to get to hear some stuff today. So by the time we come back together to talk about it for Build, I'll have some more detail that will have been publicly released, and we'll be able to talk more in depth about it.
That's
and maybe fantastic. I won't sound quite as
KG?
Deep and raspy.
Or deep and raspy. You do. You've got that Kathleen Turner sort of edge to your voice.
So. Yeah, that six pack a day.
That's it. You're gonna have to quit that smoking habit, my man.
I'm telling you. All right, buddy. Well, you take it easy. Have an awesome, awesome offsite with your team, and I'm going to spend some time with mine.
Will do.
We'll catch up on the other side.
Okay, sir. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at Bifocal Show. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal podcasts can be found on the bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal Podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.